Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
How many of you have ever gone through some hard times in your life? And I know that as I look around here today, I know that the vast majority of us have gone through some hard times in our life. There have been times when we've had some sickness in our family, and I think of Diane and Steve over the last couple of years. It just seems like they've gone from one crisis almost after another, and one surgery after another, and yet their faith has continued in the Lord. They've continued to serve God, and we're appreciative of that. Others have gone through some financial needs, and let's face it, you know, they talk about the buck stops here. The buck doesn't even get started anymore sometimes, you know, because our money is gone down so much, and you think about things. And we were talking the other day, and we mentioned the price of postage stamps is going up after the first of the year, and it's, what, 46 cents right now or 48? I don't remember. It changes too much. And I buy those forever stamps, so. But I remember back when it was 3 cents to mail a first-class letter, and some of the rest of you may remember that as well. So you can see how much finances have changed, and you work hard, and it seems like that you don't ever get ahead. And you have other stressful events that come up in your life, things that happen maybe within your family that's hurtful to you, or something that a friend does to you. I was reading a post the other day from a young lady who said that her friends had abandoned her. And that happens sometimes, especially if you're trying to live a Christian life and you're trying to serve God. Sometimes friends that you have will abandon you. And there are times that you have to take a stand for the things of God. And friends will sometimes, and I use that word friends kind of loosely there, will abandon you. But I think a true friend will stick with you. Someone once said that you, and the number of really true friends that you have throughout your lifetime, you could probably count on one hand. And I think that's true, because it seems that way in our behalf anyway. Now, I'm not putting family particularly into that grouping there, but I'm talking about people outside of family. Family should stick together. I believe that. We talked last week about the thing, most important things. Who's most important in your life? It should be God, then it should be family, and then it should be country, and so on. But, you know, family needs to stick together. But friends, and sometimes some of us have friends outside of the family that are sometimes better to us than family. Any of you ever have that? I know we have. Stressful things in our life. Do you ever get depressed? Now, if I ask if anybody here has never been depressed and you raised your hand, I'd have to say, come down, the altar's open, because I think everybody gets depressed once in a while. You know, sometimes even just because you don't feel good. I learned something last year that while I was in the hospital, they started giving me medicine for depression. Take these pills for depression. I said, I'm not depressed. They said, but yeah, you've had surgery. You'll be depressed. And so there are things in our life, events that take place that make us depressed. And other things that can come along. Maybe somebody hurts our feelings and we get depressed. Maybe it's because friends turn their back on us, we get depressed. Maybe it's because of a number of reasons of things that we can get depressed. So we all get depressed at some time or another. Well, let me ask you a question here. I asked Katrina this question the other day just to see what her reaction would be, so I could kind of get an idea what kind of reaction I might get when I ask it here today. But do you ever think Jesus got depressed? Think about that a minute now. Do you think Jesus ever got depressed? I see a couple people shaking their heads, yes. I think so. It doesn't say in the King James Bible that Jesus got depressed, but the implications are there, because it also tells us that he went through some of the same things that we went through. He knows how our feelings are, and I am sure there were times that he looked around and you know, I tell you, it's a good thing I wasn't Jesus, because I'd probably none of us would be here anymore. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18 says, "For in that he suffered and was tempted, he is able to succor." That means that he is able to help them that are tempted. And that word tempted can also be translated proved or tested. And sometimes when we're being proved or tested, it can be a little bit depressing to us, because nobody likes to go through hard times. Nobody likes to be put under pressure. Nobody likes to be made to feel like they're worthless, or that they're good for nothing, or some of these other things that sometimes these pressures can put on you. You ever get, especially, you know, at work, and you have to do a job, and it's something you've never done before, and you don't know anything about it, and all of a sudden, and you say, "I can't do this," and you're made to feel like you're a complete idiot because you don't know how to do it. And I know that happens to folks my age a lot more than it does to some of you younger folks, I think, because somehow we just don't grasp some of this stuff. You know, it's sad when we have to take certain items and we have to have our grandchildren show us how to use it. It's depressing sometimes to have to do it that way. I had to have Casey set up my phone for me the last time I got it, because I didn't know how to do it. But Jesus, I believe, was depressed. And I want to take you to some particular events and particular time in Jesus' life. And I know you say, well, this is the Thanksgiving season. We're going into the Christmas season when we're celebrating his birth and all that. And you say, but you're kind of going back to more toward like Easter with this. But this is what we need to talk about today. You see, the time was Passover or Pesach. And they had just celebrated what we as Christians refer to as the Last Supper. And it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, "Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And of course, we also know that that's referred to as the Seder meal. And so they prepare to go into Passover. Now let's look a moment at the events of this week. Just a few days earlier, he has come riding into Jerusalem on a colt. People have been waving palm branches, and they're shouting hallelujah and praise to the king and all of this stuff. And man, he's got a fantastic fanfare as he's coming into town. And now they're trying to kill him, and he knows it. They're saying, "Where are we going to have our Passover meal?" Well, he tells them what to do and go on, and they have the meal, and we're all familiar with that. And then in verse 21, he tells the disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." Okay, we're having a dinner here. We're having Thanksgiving dinner. And I look over at one of you and I say, "One of you is going to sell me down the river tomorrow. You're going to betray me big time in whatever event that it might be."
Not me, Pastor.
And we'd get probably a lot of "not me's." Don't you think that if you had to say that to your group that's gathered around, that you'd be a little bit depressed? Think about it. One of your friends who has been with you for this particular period of time, been at your side, is going to sell you down the river. And for a measly 30 pieces of silver. I know that in today's market, 30 pieces of silver might not be a measly amount, but hey, think about it. What's going through Jesus' mind? Remember, he was still in flesh at that point. He was still in a human body. He was still experiencing some of the same things that we experience. And I know I sure wouldn't like it, and I doubt that any one of you here would be too happy about it if you knew that the person seated in the table with you was going to sell you out. at the conclusion of the meal, in verse 30 of chapter 26, it says, they sung a psalm, and they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Now, think about it. It's been a night of what should have been a celebration. Because what is Passover? Passover is celebrating their exodus from Egypt, their deliverance from bondage. It should be a happy and a glorious time. And yet during this celebration, Jesus has revealed that one of his trusted friends will betray him. By the way, the guy that was the treasurer, and have you noticed in the paper lately on the news how many people that are handling money for different government groups are getting busted for stealing money from their agency they work for? Yeah. Then he goes on. He's already said one's going to betray him. And then he looks around at his right-hand man, Peter, and says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Three times you're going to deny me. Matthew 26, 34, it says, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, oh, no, not me. I mean, look at this. This is the guy that in just a few minutes, he's going to chop a guy's ear off to try to defend Jesus. You know, we say a lot of times, oh, if this comes against me, this is how I'm going to react. I mean, I'll put up my dukes. I'll fight to the finish, you know. And it comes along and we tuck and run. I don't know, my niece Nicole back there, she's a marks person. I didn't want to say marksman. She'd probably shoot. But this is the thing, though. Peter, who has been there all this time, Peter, you are going to deny me. Then they've gone to the garden, and he says, watch with me. Hey, I'm going to pray a little bit. You stay right here, and I'm going to go just over here, and I'm going to pray. And in Matthew 26, 38, it says, then said Jesus unto them, my soul is very heavy, even unto the death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, in the complete Jewish Bible, verse 38 reads this way, and he said unto them, my heart is so filled with sadness that I could die. Remain here and stay awake with me. Now the word sadness can also be translated grieved. My heart is so grieved that I could die. That sounds like depression to me, in a sense. Sometimes when things are tough in our life and we just don't know which way is out, our heart feels heavy. Oh God, just let me die. Anybody ever feel like that? Maybe some of you have, but I know what it's like. I know what it was like last year when I was going through some of the stuff I went through that, Lord, just let me die and get this over with, you know? And I'm sure some of the rest of Steve in particular with some of the ailments he's gone through and some of the surgeries. God, just let me die. And let me get a Kleenex. Praise the Lord. And it says then in verse 40, and after he came unto the disciples and found them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I mean, an hour is not a lot of time. It wasn't like he said, stay awake all night and watch with me. It's been only an hour. And he said, couldn't you even stay awake 1 hour? The Bible tells us, then he goes back and prays from some more. And he says this basically, don't make me go through this, please. But if it's, you know, if not me, but thy will be done. Who's he praying to? He's praying to God the Father. God, if this cup could pass from me, it'd be great. Because sometimes God asks us to do stuff and we really don't want to do it. God says, I want you to do this. No, you get like Moses. You begin to stutter a little bit and stumble a little bit. And God, there's somebody else over there that can do it better, but God's got a reason for asking you to do it. Because maybe they won't listen to that other person who's better qualified. And always we can always come up, well, there's somebody else that's better qualified than me to do this. God, Father, if this cup could pass from me, but hey, not my will, but your will be done. Matthew 26:42, he says, and he went his way a second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, but I must drink it, thy will be done. Sometimes I'm really of the opinion that God puts us into situations where he gives us or puts something in our path, maybe asks us to do something, and really all he wants us to do is say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And that's all he really wanted, is your willingness to do it. Sometimes I think we miss out on blessings because we quickly, God, I can't do this. Don't ask me to do this. Hey, get somebody else. And we keep backing away from what God is wanting us to do when really all he wants is us to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And he may never even have us do it then. I think I told you once before, and there is a song that I haven't heard sung in church in a long, long time, probably better than 30 years. Some of you here may remember the song. Most of you may not have ever heard it. It was a song that was titled, or it was part of the words were, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. And I can't remember all the words to it right now. But there was a young lady I knew that, she told me, she said, I can't sing that song because I'm afraid if I sing that song and say, Lord, I'll do this, that he'll call me to be a missionary and I don't want to be a missionary. She was afraid of giving her will over to God's will. And sometimes in our lives, we're afraid of giving our will over to God's will and saying, God, your will be done in my life. Not my will, but your will be done. I know some people have stronger wills than others, and some are a little harder to crack. But you know what? If we give our life and our heart to Jesus Christ, we give our will into his will, he's going to work everything out for our good. The Bible tells us that he's there. He says, being in verse 44 of Luke chapter 22, but being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood trickling down to the ground. Think about it. He was under pressure. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody bleed where they're just their blood is just coming through their skin. It's not broken open. It's just oozing through their skin. I remember I had appendicitis when I was 14 years old. And I was in the hospital, and I was in a 3-bed room. And the guy in the bed next to me, I don't really know what was wrong with him, but he had something to do with his blood pressure. But I remember looking over to him, and you could trace his veins and his arteries by the blood pattern. The blood was actually seeping out through the skin. It was under such pressure. And I'll never forget how that looked because he was under pressure. And the Bible tells us that Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood trickling down to the ground. And sometimes we do go through tough times. We have times in our life we just don't seem to know how to handle things. And that's the time we've got to get down and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. The Lord's Prayer, Luke chapter 11, verse 2 says, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done, even in earth as it is in heaven. And I want to read that portion again from Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, even in earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will gets done. Think about it. In heaven, God's will gets done. But here on earth, we sometimes do our best, even as Christians sometimes, to thwart the will of God. Because we just don't want to agree to what God wants us to do. Some have said that, how many of you heard messages on faith? You know, faith. I like some of the messages on faith today. Because I have found out that recently that you can buy it, you know. After all, if you send me X number of dollars, my faith is going to get you healed, you know. I don't believe that, quite honestly. Katrina mentioned the widow's mite. She gave just a little bit. She gave all from her heart, though. And today they don't ask for that. And that's not part of my sermon. But sometimes we want to put things into too much of a secular and monetary realm on anything that we do. Oh, you got to have faith, and your faith includes you sending money. That's not what the Bible has to say about it. The Bible says that our faith is our belief, our trust, our hope in God. You know, in one version, in fact, it's the complete Jewish version, it never uses the word faith, it uses the word trust. Our trust is in God. That's where our faith needs to be. Sometimes we put too much faith in human beings. We put too much faith in our job, and we put way too much faith in our government. We need to put our faith in God. That's where our faith needs to be. Some have said, and someone had told us one time, well, you're not exhibiting faith. If you're praying for something, God, please, I'm asking you to heal so-and-so, but your will be done. If I prayed that way, I didn't have any faith. I disagree with that, and although I respect greatly the person who told me that, the Bible tells us if we ask God's will to be done, we're going to get somewhere. Because when we're turning our will, sometimes our desires and what we're having faith for is the wrong thing. Thy will be done. Not our will, but thy will be done. And I know sometimes it's hard. You know, we're human beings. We have our desires. We have our wants. We have what we think sometimes are our needs, and sometimes we find out we can get by with a whole lot less. And sometimes we're happier that way. But if we put our trust in God and say, thy will be done, even though times are tough and it's depressing out there, and let's face it, you can get up and you can read the newspaper and you can watch the news on TV. You can watch TV in general and get depressed just from watching it or listening to it or reading it, because some of it is depressing. If I had to put my faith in the things that are going on in the world right now, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd just say, shoot me now and get it over with, you know? Because I cannot have any trust in some of these things. But my trust is in God, and I believe what His Word has to say, and I believe He's going to keep His Word, because the Bible tells me that God cannot lie. And I also know that there are a lot of religions out there that say, well, all these different people are God. There's various ways to God. But I read what the Bible says, and I've got to look at it one of two ways. If the other people are right, then the Bible I'm reading, God's a liar, and I don't believe God's a liar because He tells me He can't lie. Simple as that. So my trust is in God. My faith is in God. Yeah, do I ever get depressed? I'm going to tell you a dishonest thing. Yeah, I get depressed once in a while. Sometimes more often than I should, maybe. But my trust is also in God, and I know that God has everything in control and that God is going to work out everything for my good. I learned one thing last year. I'm still here for a reason. I don't know what the reason is particularly, but God kept me here for a reason. And when you've got a bunch of other people tell you, you know what, God wasn't through with you yet or you wouldn't still be here, I know that God has a purpose. I have faith in God. I have trust in God. And God is going to take care of me. And yes, I can look at the world situation. I can look at things that go on around me. And I can be full of gloom and doom. But I know that God's in control. And my trust and my faith is in Him. Do I go through hard times? Will you go through hard times? Yes, you will. But God is still in control if we'll let Him be. If we take our faith out of God's hand and we put our will in place instead of God's will in place, we'll get in trouble. But if we leave it to the will of God and say, God, Thy will be done, He will work it out for our good every time. And you can go to the bank with that one. He will work it out for your good. And Father, today I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for all that You have done. And Father, I just pray today that if there are any that's listening to this message by means other means such as CD or by the internet, Father, that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart right now. Father, also that I pray that, Father, there's ones that are going through a hard time, Father. Some are going through testing and trials. Father, persecution. I pray, Father, that You'd give them peace in their spirit, Father, and help them to realize, Father, more than ever, You're still in control. I thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us. Or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.